Welcome to Add to Party, Friendship Simulator Masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Andy Kay,
and I'm joined by
Derek Costiha.
Hey.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, everyone.
I have an important question for you.
Ooh, I want to know. Tell us. Ask us, rather.
Okay. What was the most recent meal you had that was disappointing?
Ooh.
Now, Derek, you were just eating.
Yeah. Was it the most recent one? Because that would be sad.
Well, no. I just had lasagna, and it was delicious.
Ooh, that's
all. Although, beautiful. I sort of wish I made lasagna soup, because it would have been done in much faster than an hour, and I wouldn't have been late today.
Lasagna soup?
Oh, yeah. You weren't on the socials like 2 years ago. Right? It's just like a tomato base, ricotta. You cut up the lasagna noodles instead of having them as big sheets, and it looks good. I've never had it.
Huh. Okay.
But disappointing meals.
Give me a second.
Okay.
It was a place we ordered from. God, what is it? It was called, I know it as Suspiciously Cheap Wings, because it's like you get like 12 wings and fries for like $8, and there's no way any of that is above the board. But I just had it recently, and normally it's what you think. It's you get what you get. But the last time it was just blech. But for that many dollars, God, what is the name of that place? I don't know. But that much food should not be $8. That just doesn't feel right.
Okay, I finally remember that stood out. Mm-hmm. Dim sum takeout we had in Seattle last time, where I got the Mabo tofu from a dim sum place. That I should not have done that, but I was craving it. But the most recent where I was really disappointed was a very close local sushi place. They've been going downhill lately. And the last time I went, all of their front house staff, you know, I'm not trying to be racist here, but they were all white.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I should have just walked away, turned right around when that saw that. But I was there with two other people. We were all disappointed with our meal, getting regular stuff that we get every time we go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the quality was not there.
No.
I don't know.
That's disappointing. We're carrying a lot of trauma. James, what happened to you?
I made bad box mac and cheese.
Wait, how do you make bad box mac and cheese?
Well, it wasn't Kraft. That's
how. Oh. Was it Annie's? I heard that's one of the worst ones.
No. Annie's, while I will not support them after the injuries they had at their canning facilities and lack of worker support, their mac and cheese is better than Kraft dinner.
Well, you're wrong, but that's okay.
I watched people on YouTube say it was worse. Are you going to tell YouTube they're wrong?
Yes.
What did you make? Did you make like Kroger brand? Did you say
no? It was it's this brand called Goodles.
I love Goodles.
Yeah, but it was like their cacio e pepe mac and cheese, and it was just like very fake Parmesan. And there, I was like,
cacio e pepe is a very like one of the four most popular noodle dishes nowadays. I think that's fair to say.
Parmesan cream and pepper, more
that
or less.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. It is.
And lots of fresh black pepper.
Cacio pepe?
Cacio e pepe.
Cacio?
C-A-C-I-O.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pepe.
Looks tasty.
Well, yeah. I'm glad I haven't taken the gamble, because their Twist My Parm and their Hatch Chili one are solid.
The Twist My Parm, if it's the same flavor as that, I don't think it is solid. I had their normal mac and cheese, and I was like, okay, this is fine. Still not as good as Kraft mac and cheese.
Okay, you're eating chickpea flour pasta so that it's less unhealthy.
No, I mean,
give it a little bit of leeway.
Like, it's the pasta is fine. I don't have any
glycemic index.
I have no issue with the pasta. It's the sauce.
Oh, this is certainly more than a dollar. Holy moly.
Yeah, I think it's like $2.50 or something.
It wasn't like that bad. I also, in trying to disappoint myself, there was like a Cheeto mac and cheese that also, a box that I also got.
Okay, that one is kind of good.
Oh, you've had it?
Yeah. Because it was like on turbo clearance, which made me think it would be terrible. It was like 50 cents. And I was like, oh, they're just trying to get rid of this. And then I had it and I was like, oh, that's kind of cheesy. Let's go.
You know, it's just sometimes you're like, there's no way this is good. Let's get it and see how disappointed we're going to be.
I mean, for that price, I didn't mind trying it out.
So did you get the regular or the Flamin' Hot?
Just regular.
Regular. I don't like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Which makes me the wrong one, but that's okay.
No, you're not wrong, because the best Flaming Hot are the Flamin' Hot Funyuns. The Cheetos are just a poor vehicle for any powder.
To be fair, I ate a bad Cheeto in sixth grade, and I've avoided them ever since.
Well, are you a Puff man or a Crunchy Cheeto man?
Oh, I am Puff all day. It was the Crunchy Cheetos. I don't know what I had, but it was one of the... I don't know, but it sticks with me, and I don't like eating Cheetos or the hard Cheetos.
I'm a crunchy Cheeto guy.
Okay. Well, you've never been cursed in sixth grade.
It feels like I'm eating styrofoam when I eat the puffs.
Oh, I don't know why I like it. I don't know.
It's nice that we're completely balanced as a group, because I will not be caught with Cheetos of either variety.
Whoa, you take personal offense.
They did nothing wrong, like Amy's or any of the other people I don't consume from.
Well, I'm sure like they them. Did something wrong. We just no, have to. Let's
yeah, Frito-Lay has blood on their hands.
Yeah.
But I just don't like either one.
Well, you're a connoisseur, Derek. You snack across the world.
Yes, but you can also give companies money and do the same.
Well, what is your if you turn your nose, okay, to American classics? Like Cheetos variations, what do you go to? Where do you run? Who holds you?
So I'm partial to the latest batch of Pringles. So they are being very sneaky. They're like labeling it like, oh, it's regular Pringles mixed with sweet potato or mixed with whole grain. No, they switched up and added a lot of cornmeal.
Okay.
And it pisses me off because I like them so much better than regular Pringles.
The cornmeal ones?
Yes.
Or the sweet potato ones?
Both. Like, they just snuck in a bunch of corn into my little snack. And when I got home and read it, I was so upset. And then I opened it and ate it, and they were so good.
Number one, I commend you for reading the list of ingredients, Derek. Okay? You're a good person. I never look at it. Now, these the harvest blends you're talking about?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Harvest blends. I didn't even know this is a thing.
Wait, what's harvest blend?
The harvest Pringles. Blend Pringles.
Isn't that that's Sun Chips though. Are they putting that on Pringles maybe now?
It's a crossover? I don't know.
No. It's harvest blends. So let's see. They've got some that are multigrain sweet potato, one of the two. And also corn is the first ingredient now.
Derek, have you had Have you had Mexican Pringles?
I have not.
What is that?
It's Pringles that the can is entirely written in Spanish. It's called Habanero Maris Maris.
Okay.
And it's like spicy with lime. Oh, it's so good.
I've never heard of this.
They actually serve that in Texas. It's on shelves. The Fuego Limon.
It's different than the Fuego Limon.
Okay.
I don't snack, apparently. I don't eat anything except Ruffles.
You gotta hit up the 7-Eleven, Andy.
Oh, I don't go to convenience stores. Oh, is this where this myriad of options are? I guess where do the stoners go?
So hold on. So you'll just fill up your tank of gas and not a single time think to go in and support the good people who are providing that to you?
Literally. Because
the margins on gasoline are actually, well, most of the time and historically have been razor thin.
Really? You
make a lot of money on the inside.
Really? I didn't know that. I only go into the gas station if I'm on a road trip.
I feel like nowadays it's probably gouging everyone because everyone is gouging the consumers. But when I first heard about it, that was the truth as far as I know.
I'm supposed to get snacks. You're telling me that I need to get snacks if I want to be a good person, if I want to shop local.
Actually, the Pringles are like a guilty pleasure, like once every 3 or 4 months. The real snacks are the Costco almond bags or nut bags.
What would they not be if it's not a bag?
If they weren't what?
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you said not the almond bags.
They have almonds, cashews, peanuts, but those I always have in my pantry.
You guys, you have such diverse palates and the motivation to fulfill them.
Life is nothing without adventure, Andy.
I apparently can't do it. Literally, my special treat is Ruffles. I love Ruffles so much.
Plain Ruffles?
And that's about it. That's about it. But I sit here embarrassed. And
You don't get the sour cream cheddar Ruffles?
No. Only originals for Andy.
Andy, maybe you treat yourself not with treats throughout the day, but with good meals.
Of course not. I haven't done HelloFresh for a while. I have about a month worth of boxed meal or meal prep in my freezer because I kept getting them. And then I was like, I just can't. And then I just threw it all in the freezer. So I guess February. That was my New Year's resolution. I was like, look at me. I'm going to start cooking again. And then I didn't. And then it was just a lot of mac and cheese. Which is why I'm surprised you messed it up, James. How do you mess up mac and cheese? I don't even use water or milk. I just use water.
That's disgusting.
Well, sometimes I use the starchy water. I don't know if it makes a difference.
Well, the starchy water does make a difference, yes.
Yeah, but it's also a lot of sodium in that bad boy.
There is.
But I'm disappointed in you. Maybe I got to make the queche de pepe. I don't know what it is.
No, I wouldn't recommend it. But you know what I would recommend?
I want to know. Tell me. Guide me. Change me.
That's all the content from the Xbox Developer Direct that aired earlier today.
All the content was our snacks?
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
So today, January 18th, mm-hmm. Xbox held a Developer Direct focused on, what was it, 5 studios, I believe. We got to see everything. We got to see Avowed from Obsidian Entertainment. We got to see more on Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2 from Ninja Theory. Square Enix popped up and came and showed Visions of Mana.
Weird. And not 14. Visions of Mana.
Yeah. And Aura, History Untold by Oxide Games. That's the, we talked about them last week. It's the Firaxis Legacy. And the first look at Indiana Jones and the Great Circle by Machine Head Games.
Mm-hmm.
Before we dive into the individual ones, I just want to talk about it as an overall. And I'm like, I think this is a nice little direct. Like, it was, they didn't, you know, it was very much developer focused.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't linger too long. Like, you know, sometimes they have those developer docs and you're like, yes, I get it. You're very passionate about this.
You know, I was actually going in with the opposite take from it. I appreciate that they gave them so much time, but Obsidian and Senua's Saga, like both of those just felt like the developers just going on and on about like their culture and their efforts.
Yeah, but I don't feel like they did it for too long. Like it was like, you know, maybe like 5 to maybe 10 minutes of it, which is, I'm like, wasn't enough for me to get tired of it. And usually they interspaced it with gameplay.
That is true.
But yeah, so let's talk about Senua's Saga. One of the big note is Senua's Saga got its date. Mm. It's coming out May 21st.
Oh,
which is soon.
Yeah.
They also announced, I'm not sure, they might have done this after the, they might have done this after the direct, but they also announced that this will be a digital only release and it will be $49.99 because it's going to be a shorter narrative experience.
At $50?
Yeah.
I mean, like the lower price, but no physical options at all is sort of a red flag to me.
Well, I mean, it saves them money because it costs money to print discs.
Yeah, and every store that sells them takes their cut. So, I mean, of course, Steam's going to take their 20-30%.
Well, I don't know if it'll be on Steam.
But Xbox also takes a cut as well.
Well, they're an Xbox studio, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
So yeah, it's coming. It's coming to PC, Xbox consoles, and Game Pass. So yeah, even then, you don't even have to buy $50. You just have to have Game Pass.
Oh wow, it's just Game Pass.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it, Game Pass.
Yeah.
It is profitable, I think. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's their future business plan, so I'm sure it is.
You know, I was reading a little bit about it. So I haven't played the first one. Have you guys?
I have played a little bit of it. It's very much like a story about experiencing mental illness.
Yeah, maybe that's not always the vibe.
Well, that vibe seems to be a focus in this one as well.
Yeah.
But with completely revamped combat, which
yeah,
I'm interested in.
Which I think... like, I think that's pretty cool. And I bring it up because I was reading the comments and some people were talking about how they experienced the first one. And they were talking about how you absolutely have to wear headphones.
You have to wear headphones.
Yeah, because it's a surround experience. And that got me super interested in it, too. And then
someone said it's the closest to experiencing schizophrenia.
You know what? I wonder if they have a trigger warning. And I mean that seriously. Like... That can be a dark place to go. But one person was like, yeah, I loved it. It was a great experience. I enjoyed it on my 150-inch outdoor theater in the rain. And I was like, what is that experience? What is that life? How big is a 150-inch TV? That's got to be.
It was probably a projector.
150-inch to feet. How big is that? That's 12 feet diagonally.
Yeah, I was going to say probably like 12 feet.
Yeah.
12 feet diagonal. I just can't understand it. In the rain. So they have like you're outside in the rain? I guess it's covered, but you still get kind of wet. I don't know.
Either of you have anything else about Hellblade?
I just want to know what this luxury
I think is. It's gorgeous from what they've shown.
Ninja Theory knows what they're doing in terms of like visual and audio.
Yeah, that's their jam. I'm down to give the first one a try. I think I own it, actually.
Probably do.
Should check.
Next up, Avowed, which is the Obsidian Entertainment's swing at doing a Skyrim. So, you know, they made Fallout New Vegas. They made The Outer Worlds. Now they're doing Avowed, and they showed a little gameplay of it. And you know what, man? It looks like better combat Skyrim.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even want to that might be a good representation. So the combat allows you to mix and match and have presets that you can switch between, like on the fly in combat. You can have one or two wands in hand, a wand and a sword. Yeah, dual wand, dual
what
guns.
What does that even mean?
Because you have two wands.
I do. Okay.
Yeah, they just have special effects instead of just pure damage like the guns. Like you could freeze them and then shatter them, and that looked cool.
That is cool.
And the combat was what kept my attention. And then they went to the narrative part, and I sort of stopped. Like, they went into like a little sub quest and dialogue with this group, and I get that that's good that they're being open about what your gameplay is going to be like, but if...
Was it no bear romance?
I mean, the writing was kind of a little, I don't know, stiff. It's like, this guy called me a baby or something like that.
No, the one that got me was, oh, you're just a bunch of thugs, although I'm not one to talk. It's like, yeah. Come on. It's like... Actually, no, that's the one line where I rolled my eyes and then stopped paying attention.
But they did confirm the branching dialogue trees, you know, very, very much, you know, Fallout-esque, where, you know, you can have choices depending on the narrative, probably depending on your class or your stats, you know, in kind of classic Fallout style.
And hopefully they learned from the past 5 years of make the choices matter. Yep. Make the choices impact the results.
Well,
this has got to suck for them with Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, it really does. Like, really, really kind of put the narrative choice making, like, that's rough.
Like, I don't think literally anyone can live up to that. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to.
Now,
it'll be a while.
I understand there's a lot of different endings. And my one game playthrough is not, you know, everyone else's. But I don't see the, like, narrative in Baldur's Gate to be amazing.
I think the freedom of the choice is it's really more just how much you can change it up in terms of how you experience the game. The narrative is pretty standard in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, I haven't played it, but I thought it was lauded to be like even the general overarching narrative, like everything.
I mean, it's a classic fantasy story. Like it's not doing, there's no twists or turns in it where you're like, like, no, this is very much classic hero's journey kind of thing. All right. But that's not underselling that it's, you know, all the dialogue is very well written and all your companions are interesting and all that.
I mean, yeah.
So, no, don't stop at just the writing. The actual voice acting is top notch.
That too. Yeah. So this is like Avowed's got to compete with that. It sucks.
So I don't think the overall narrative is that much better than a similar game, Solasta, Master of the Crown. I may have butchered.
I could never finish Solasta.
But the voice acting in that just kept me from actually being able to enjoy the story. Baldur's Gate. Okay, but maybe enough about Baldur's Gate while we have three other games. Possibly four if we want to keep talking about Avowed.
God, Baldur's Gate can be brought up for years.
Yeah, no, it will be.
All these games. But yeah, the other ones. Indiana Jones. How do you feel about that one?
I was going to save that one for last, but we can do Indiana.
Fair.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. We're not... Let's just do Visions of Mana, because I don't think we really have to do Ara. It's very... Ara is a 4X game. Do you like 4X games? You probably Ara.
It's a 4X game with a slight twist with the crafting system. So, yes, they went and talked about how revolutionary their gameplay was and how you could make any decision and how to win. And it's like, okay, you're describing Civilization. You're describing all the other 4X games. And then they brought up crafting, and then I got my attention back.
I'm curious how the crafting will end up working out. But, it's you see the bones of Civilization in this game, and there's nothing wrong with that. Civilization really doesn't have competitors, more or less. So,
isn't it former Civ guys?
Yeah, former Firaxis devs.
Okay,
so makes me curious. What's the latest Civ? Are we on Civ 5?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Civ 5 was the last I played.
Yeah, so it makes me curious what Civ 6 is going to be. Considering all these developers left to make their own Civilization game. But yeah, it's a 4X game. Sure. In the surprise, Square Enix showed up and were like, hey, you want to hear about Visions of Mana? Want to see how we made it like a Tales game for some reason?
I don't think they did that.
it's not turn-based. It is an action. It's actually more of an action RPG in the vein of Final Fantasy 16, I would say, honestly.
I mean, it's more in the vein of the other like 16 Mana games that have come before it.
Wait, I thought Mana was turn-based.
No.
Oh.
They did have some spin-offs on the phone that probably were. Like,
this is my ignorance. I apologize. I thought Secrets of Mana was turn-based.
They did a lot of mobile games, though, so you probably saw some turn-based games.
That's fair. That's fair.
So, wait, how is it not turn-based on the SNES? Now I'm very curious. I have to go look at a gameplay of this.
It was an action one.
They had action ones.
Or you would do
at least after the PlayStation era. But I'm going to have to, like, put an asterisk next to my Mana fan card. I've only played a spinoff when I reviewed, like, looked into the history of the Mana series. I've only played one spinoff to completion and one spinoff a little bit.
Which one? I thought you played Legend.
I played Legend of Mana, which is a spinoff.
That's a spinoff?
That's a spinoff. I did not think it was a spinoff, but it had different gameplay from all the predecessors.
Oh, I remember it being the same.
So, and then I played a little bit of Children of Mana on my friend's DS because I didn't have one. But enough about old.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at gameplay of Secret of Mana right now. Look at that. It is an action RPG game on the SNES.
This reminds me of what was the one on the PS2?
The PS2, that was a main series one.
I just remember it had really good music. I listened to the soundtrack. But anyways, it looked like that one to me. But that one was like a single player, single character adventure. And it had like a gimmick with the weapon or something. I don't know. I think it was like a vine. I don't remember.
And there's a similar gimmick with James learned. This one.
I'm surprised you haven't played the Super Nintendo one. Wait, were you?
We never had it, so I didn't.
You never even rented it. How could you with that box art? You're a monster.
I was too busy getting Mickey's Magical Adventure.
Okay, that's fair. It's a good one. But dude, the soundtrack to Secret of Mana. Ooh.
Yes, yeah, no, they were very particular about highlighting that they would keep the soundtrack being amazing. Mm-hmm. They even brought up the background music and how it subtly changed from non-combat to whenever he struck. I listened to that a few times and I was vibing. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely transitioned seamlessly.
Well, now you got me excited. I didn't get to watch it completely with sound on. But if they're even aiming for that, yeah, like Mana games have always had really good music. I like listening to their soundtracks.
They also said it'll be coming this summer and it will be coming to PlayStation as well as PC.
Let's go. I'm into it.
I loved every single bit of this 6:51, just every single bit, except there was one moment that gave me a little pause. The creator, Koichi Ishii, said that he would strive to use the latest techniques to bring his ideas to life. And that may be a rough translation, but don't cancel them. Nothing about AI has been mentioned. Using the latest techniques, like that foam game that's supposed to be PlayStation's Splatoon. They have like 0.01% of their art is AI generated and they're getting shit on online.
Yeah, they are. And I think they just meant to bring, because I read into that and I think it was just to generate the album art to the fake soundtrack. Like,
that is my understanding as well.
So it was just
that's Square Enix too, actually. So
yeah, they're talking about how they want to lean in heavy, but like, I think that's a fun way to use AI. Now, I think they said they used Midjourney.
Taking money out of hardworking artists' hands.
So, if they're using Midjourney, that's a problem. But like,
they did use Midjourney.
Yeah. So, now, like, I kind of get that. But, like, I think Photoshop built their own AI with a library that's, like, completely, you know, all of it's, like, licensed and whatever that you can use it with no problem. Like, if you're training on data that's meant for it, go with God. But, like, no, they used, like, Midjourney, so that's a problem.
So keep an eye open. It may have some AI art as a part of it. I'm not going to spread rumors that it is. He's just using the latest techniques, his words.
I love this story.
But let me go into the peak of this video for me.
Yes.
Okay. You now get a canine companion that you can ride.
Oh, so, like in Kirby Dream Land 2?
So they're called Pickles. P-I-K-U-L-S. Pickles.
So cute.
Which, Pickles. For me. But they're just adorable. So,
transportation
will be quicker than past games, which, you know, with my attention span waning every day from Instagram, is only a good thing.
Well, and then let's get to the big, big reveal, which is the first footage and gameplay of Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
So hold on. Why do you call it the big one? Like, this was the only one that was just a traditional trailer with no.
No, they had the devs. They had a whole dev thing beforehand.
Okay, I'm watching the videos that they put up on IGN. And
on the IGN video, they don't have the dev stuff in there. They just have the trailer.
Oh, okay.
Well, then let me retract that then.
Yeah, no, they had a bunch of developer talking about like the legacy of Indiana Jones and being a part of it. There's a lot of discussion about how they wanted to make the whip like iconic in gameplay. So it's, you know, it's there for combat, but you can also use it to distract enemies. You can use it to climb. Like, you can whip out, you can like whip certain things and then use it like a rope to climb up. So, you know, they're really trying to focus on playing the experience or the fantasy of being Indiana Jones. If you're not familiar with Machine Games, by the way, They're the people who did Wolfenstein, all the new good ones.
Oh, really?
They hate Nazis. And what does Indiana Jones fight? He fights Nazis.
There's a theme.
Yeah, it is.
That explains why it's first person then.
Yeah. Yeah. They talk about that too. They said they wanted to keep it first person because A, that's their style and that's their most comfortable make. Like, you know, they're the most comfortable making those kinds of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
They do say though, and they showed that there are periods of time in the game where you go third person, and like if you're traversing using your whip, right, you go into a third person mode or you start mantling or climbing or something like that. So it's not all first person, but I think the majority of your time will be spent in first person. They also talked about how, you know, they're adding puzzles both in the game, both as a part of the main story and optional. Oh. So, you know, that kind of like exploration of like, hey, there's like an ancient mystery over here that I can solve to get a whip that's 2% better. I don't know if that's
actually true. I love environmental puzzles.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider did that in the new ones. They had like little side areas to explore.
Yep. And it looks like it's going to span kind of the entire world. The idea of the Great Circle is basically all these places around the world form a circle.
Which is so stupid.
It is, but it's also very Indiana Jones. But you'll end up going to the Vatican, the pyramids of Egypt, Africa, I think South America too, but I'm not sure. It looks like, you know, it's going to have a lot of diverse graphics, and it is coming out, unless they push it, in 2024. So this is probably going to be fall's big Xbox game for them.
Now, I have to say that's a little bit disappointing because, like, you brought up the whip being used in gameplay. That might be well implemented, but from the air quotes gameplay they showed in this trailer, it looked disappointing. Like, yeah, you could whip and drag a Nazi to you so you could punch him out, but then they'd go and just show the Nazis just shoot at you, and then you're still there with the whip. It's like, why would... Eh. And then my second thing from just the trailer, maybe they spoke of it in the developers section, but it feels like you're playing a movie is what their goal is.
They wanted it to be that way.
Which,
so they did talk about that in the developer. They wanted this to feel like this is part of the movie trilogy, or I guess, what is it? It's five movies now. So I don't remember what the term for that is.
And while I don't see that as a positive, there are big successes that have done the same and just crushed it because of it.
Yeah.
Like Uncharted.
Yeah, I mean, there's Uncharted vibes in here, but I would say it is distinct enough that you don't feel like you're playing an Uncharted clone. Keeping it first person, I think, is a big part of that.
It threw me off the first person, especially because it's like you're playing Indiana Jones. Do you want to play him as third person or first person? I don't know. It hit me wrong.
Oh, but also, Troy Baker is doing his best Harrison Ford impression. He's the VO for Indy.
Oh, that's good.
Is usually up to the job. Wait, we don't like Troy Baker now, though, right?
What do you do?
Something, I don't know. Maybe you turn off.
I don't know. And let's not.
Yeah. I can't.
I think him and Nolan North had a falling out. I can't remember who was the
one. No. Who is even who? So,
yeah.
I hear it. But, well, good deal. I mean, to get that much money behind something like that. And I didn't even hear about a multiplayer mode.
Oh, wait, there's going to be a multiplayer mode? I didn't hear about that.
I don't know.
Oh. Oh, no.
But what kind of game gets that kind of money? This is very much a Sony move, it feels like.
Yeah, this is very much like a Sony cinematic. Like, if I were to compare this feels like kind of their Spider-Man type game. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's big budget. It's single player. It's blockbuster. And hopefully it sells. Oh, my God. And if it comes out on Game Pass...
More, I believe it will be coming out on Game Pass.
Oh my gosh, you guys. And then it goes back to that. But then, like, even Baldur's Gate, though, they're like, oh, we're not going to release on Game Pass. And the Dragon people, too, said, nah, we're not going to do
that. They will eventually.
Maybe. I don't know.
I like how they frame it
that they have more value. I think, like, Baldur's Gate says, we think we have a value to deliver outside of Game Pass.
So it really depends on the conditions offered to them.
Sure.
Like, I think they go through like so much money up front.
Oh, yeah.
And until they make that much from some kind of metric that I have no clue about, that they only get that much.
Mm-hmm.
And They saw all the success and just it's like, oh no, we're happy with this money.
Andy, to let you know, it will be on Game Pass, Xbox consoles, PC game, and Steam.
Interesting. You know, I just signed up for PlayStation Game Pass. What is that called? I don't even know what I said.
I believe it's premium, isn't it?
That has a lot of good stuff on it, by the way. But it still just doesn't feel like it measures up. And I think it's because Game Pass brings out these day one things.
Yeah. And it's PS Plus.
PS, I have like the PS Plus Premium or something.
PS
Plus Plus. Who the heck knows? It's branded so poorly. But even then, even after getting that, I was like, ah, yes, now I have Game Pass. But I'm still looking over at the grass is greener. Like,
now here's the thing, Andy, PlayStation fan that you are.
Mm-hmm.
If this game comes out and it's like, you know, Spider-Man like reviews, nines, tens, are you going to feel the pull to come play it?
The problem is I probably will. I am such a sucker for these kind of games.
Yes, but Andy, do you know what works on your PC?
What's that?
Your PlayStation controller.
It's what I use. So
if it's at all available on PC, you can just play it on PC.
Like every time. So I wonder if you guys have this feeling. Well, James, you probably don't because you have a god graphics card. But like you boot up a PC game and then you wonder, am I good enough? Like, is my computer good enough? Is my card good enough? Is my RAM good enough? Is anything good enough? And then I just feel like I'm not good enough every time I play a game. So I just don't like it.
As long as you don't go more than, so you don't have to buy a high budget PC. I typically spend $600 or $700 whenever I do a fresh PC build.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasts me 6-7 years, no problem. I don't play the AAA games, but I feel like there's been enough esports attempting games where you have to aim low and be very efficient.
Sure.
And everything except hard drive space, that it'll just keep me going until it breaks, something breaks. And then I see something like Asus's new GPU connector, so you don't need power cables for your GPU. And I'm just like,
really?
Can't wait for that.
Ooh. Well, I don't know.
That's going to be interesting.
Guys built my PC, I think. Well, not the graphics card. I went around and kept taking people's old graphics cards.
But before anyone thinks that I'm calling Asus innovative, Apple did the exact same thing on the Mac Pro 2019.
Oh.
It's a good idea, but it's not innovative, Asus. I still love you, though.
Listen, the Twitter mob was about to come for you, Derek. All right. Well, I appreciate your clarification. But, well, that's why I'm scared to play Indiana Jones, because it's going to boot up and his face is going to look like his butt and it's just going to be terrible. It's going to look awful. But,
well, no, knows? That's fine. That's fine, Andy. You're going to be in first person. You can't see his butt or his face.
That's true. So I got nothing to worry about.
I got something for you to worry about, Andy.
Oh, please. I need another.
It's Ubisoft's director's description saying you need to be comfortable with not owning your games anymore.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler, you haven't owned your games in a while.
So
there recently was a interview with Ubisoft's director of subscriptions, Philippe Tremblay.
Mm.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but I
will say it.
Dumb American. Talking to Game Industry Biz about the digital feature in Ubisoft Plus, which is Ubisoft's Game Pass, essentially. And he had a quote where one of the things we saw is that gamers are used to, a little bit like DVD, having and owning their games. That's a consumer shift that needs to happen. That being the consumer shift to you not owning your games and, you know, moving to more of like a Netflix and Game Pass model where, you know, you just pay a subscription fee and you get games. Now, here's something I will say. You haven't owned games since you've had to have always online and content on patch on day one, right? Like, discs don't mean jack shit anymore.
No, they don't.
See, there are very few games you can put a disc in and play it just straight off of.
James, you're not entirely correct in that we can't own our files. So thanks to one person who loves FIFA, a trans woman and a transphobe, we have so many games that are completely cracked and not online required. And for
that's not owning. That's illegally owning.
Look, if the option is you cannot legally own it. Like, they shut down the servers and are no longer supporting it. I see no moral dilemma in acquiring it.
Oh, by the way, Derek is referring, we've talked about this before, but Derek is referring to the software crack scene, which is dominated by three people, a trans woman, a transphobe, and one person who only cracks Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yeah.
But that's incredible. It's such a small community.
And it's that those specific sucks people.
That it's a bigot.
But like, I will fully admit I torrented and I downloaded a cracked Sims 1. Where could I buy Sims 1? I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I've torrented a lot, but I don't equate that to ownership. Like,
I mean, you have the files, you can run them yourself. You're not dependent on an online DRM.
But that's not, you didn't pay money. It's not ownership. That is theft with extra steps.
Yes. If studios like Capcom are going to put in spyware DRM on their older, like 10 plus year old games.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to bring that up, but Capcom went back and added DRM to a bunch of old games in a really dick move.
So they got bad money on the industry. Do not torrent new games. Do not just
support. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I'm not here to tell you what you do and you don't do. I'm just going to tell you, don't have some sort of moral of that I own a game because I got a cracked version of it off Pirate Bay.
Do they still have key gems?
I'm not supporting the piracy of new games. I'm just saying that, you know, the studios might want to watch their language because they might get more than three people on the scene.
You wouldn't download a car, would you? Fuck you, I would. No, but listen, this is not about the moral standing of torrenting and cracking games. I think just this idea of like the industry is pushing towards subscription-based modeling because it is a steadier revenue stream, right? And we've talked about this with Game Pass, but it's like it's so much easier to be like, we have this many subscribers, we can forecast that maybe we'll get a bump when a game releases of this amount, and it's so much easier to do financial forecasting with that, where it's like, well, we're going to spend, you know, $50 million on this game and maybe it'll sell well and maybe it won't.
Yeah. But you gotta be profitable. Like I
need to go on the other side of the coin, though. So users not owning what they pay for is what led to Sony removing some purchased films and movies from people's accounts.
Yeah, yeah. I should say it. I am being flippant about it that we don't already own it. I do think ownership is important. I still buy Blu-rays of stuff when I want certain things. They're actually. For you two, it might be interesting. I don't know if you saw, they're releasing a 4K restoration Blu-ray of the 1997 Berserk anime.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Aww.
I'm going to get that.
That's a good one.
It was one of the many good attempts.
It was so far the best attempt.
If you get past CGI, the latest one's not good still.
Yeah. but no, I think this...
Well, his argument of ownership, it was more in the context of a subscription, right? Not necessarily paying $60 and still having that taken away.
Right. This is me saying where it's like gamers have to get comfortable with it. I think basically we're already comfortable with it. People just don't realize it.
Right. Yeah. With our when the PS3 shuts down its store, we're screwed. When the 3DS shut down its store, I don't have access to games I paid for anymore. There's no ways I can ever get them. But actually, I forgot if they left it up for existing purchases. I don't remember. But
one of my issues, though, is that the one game that's only releasing digital, you know, we were just talking about it. Oh, is it Senua's Saga?
Yeah.
What happens if, for some reason, they just decide to stop hosting it on the Xbox store?
Then it's gone. This is the same problem that's coming up with some movies and television shows recently. Where, you know, they're like, we're not going to release it and just take the tax relief for it. This is like a failed project, even though it's entirely filmed and made. This is like the Batgirl movie that Brendan Fraser was in.
Oh, he was in it? No way.
He played Firefly.
Aw, Brendan.
We're in a weird time where companies have a little too much control over IP.
Yeah.
And
I wonder what the collector's market is. Because PS4 games and PS5 physical are worth nothing, right? Like, and even in 20
years. For now. I bet in 10 years it might be a little more.
I can't see them meaning anything. Because, like what you said, you pop in the disc. And you need.
There were some that worked in the PS4 era, definitely. Towards the end of the PS4, yes. Towards the beginning, there were probably, you know, it was a higher split of games that worked on disc.
I don't know. I've been going through my collection, and there's not a single like Super Nintendo through PS2 game I would get rid of. But my PS3 and PS4, like all so much of them feel worthless. It's like I should only keep it on my shelf if I want to look at it. Like, none of it means anything anymore.
There's a guy that comes up on my TikTok lives a lot who has a collection of essentially every game that's ever existed. And people just message him, like, a name of a game. And he'll just go through, like, yep, here it is. And it's, like, every fucking game.
Wow.
Any game, any platform.
Yeah. I love his videos where he's like, oh, I found this in this little flea market in Honolulu. I found this game being offered. And I didn't own it. So, of course, I had to fly there and get it.
What?
I think he did. He's done that, something like that, like twice. If we're thinking about the same guy.
Who is this person?
He's not on my. I'm not following him. He just occasionally pops up.
Yeah, my TikTok. Just as an aside, my TikTok live has gotten real good lately of just people playing like retro games. I'm like, oh, I just watched the band play Mega Man 3 for like 20 minutes the other day.
Oh, cool. TikTok live, you said?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I guess that is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it has a low requirement to get in. I think it's like 1,000 followers or something.
Yeah, it's and you can get 1,000 followers easy if you know what you're doing.
Huh? Did you throw? Do you throw money in TikTok?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, but speaking of throwing money down a hole.
Oh, let's talk. What?
The Halo Battle Royale is more than likely canceled.
Poor Halo.
Yeah, Halo just can't catch a break.
We were optimistic though, weren't we?
Yeah, so when Halo Infinite came out, there's a lot of discussion about there being a battle royale in the works. I believe they said nearly 100 people were working on it. However, some rumors and reports by unnamed sources, let's see, independent. Yeah, they can't confirm it officially, but unnamed sources as a part of the project have said that the project is canceled, according to the reporters. This is from Tom Phillips at Eurogamer. So, you know, we say it like it's so easy, like just make fucking a battle royale game.
Yeah.
But I do credit Xbox to be like, well, are we going to actually support it? did they really look at it and go, we really have to do all this work or it's going to fail, and just decide that, you know what, we're not just going to put it out to fail?
I think the bigger issue is projecting market share. Like, Halo gun work is in a really middle ground. Like, Call of Duty has really short time to kill. Apex Legends has really long time to kill. It's like right in the middle for time to kill, speed of gameplay. And it's just like, are you really going to pull people from both of them? Or are you just going to get overlooked by people who want really fast gameplay with longer time to kill versus people who just want to one-tap people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of any other battle royale that's meaningfully successful industry-wide.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Like, where is its place? And also, who even cares about Halo anymore? Like, Zoomers don't have any emotional attachment to it, and I think the rest don't have time for video games anymore.
Andy, you're hurting me physically and emotionally. I put so many hours into like every Halo game, including Halo Wars.
And I think that's beautiful, but how many years ago was that? Like, did you play Infinite, Derek?
Yeah, I played a little bit of Infinite.
Oh, well, screw me then.
I didn't stay, though. I didn't pay for the single player. I played the free online they had.
Oh, you didn't play single player. Okay. I think we all played the multiplayer together.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. After 343 took it over, I did not care for the story plots.
That's fair.
And also, the story should have ended after, like, 3. Maybe ODST was a good the middle ground. But then after that, just make a different IP.
They did.
Yeah.
With Destiny, which has its own host of problems, apparently.
Well, first thought was Bungie. And yeah, yeah. Their own problems.
I don't know. I don't know where is this? I've been hearing this term boomer shooter. Halo's not a boomer shooter, right?
No. Boomer shooters are Doom, Quake.
That's right. Wolfenstein. Yeah. That kind of, I loved that term. I was like, ah, boomer shooter. I've also been hearing the term dad gamer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a whole like new market cropping up. And I don't know if we're just like coming up with these things to make fun of them, which I think is fair to do as well. Well, but I don't know.
Boomer shooter has the connotation that this was the first super popular shooting genre. Yeah. Every GIF shooter for a little bit was trying to be the next Doom.
Oh yeah.
Or for next sure. Quake. Dad gamers or dad games are games where you can put in 5-10 minutes, but then when the kid cries, you can immediately stop. You're not letting anyone down.
Oh, see, I thought dad gamers were people were millennials revisiting properties or Gen Xers revisiting properties and wanting it to be the same, and then just getting mad about it. If that makes sense.
I don't know which one is the more common definition. But
I could be wrong, to be fair. And maybe it's a little crossover, right? Because they just want to relive their past as they're trying to deal with their present, like putting down their kid.
Oh, well, speaking of reliving the past, Prince of Persia is good again.
Oh, yeah, it is. I want to play that one.
Prince of Persia and the Last Crown is out as of today. It was in early access, early pre-order access since last week. But it's officially out today, January 18th. It's currently sitting at an 86 on OpenCritic, with 95% of critics recommending it. Christian Domland at Eurogamer gave it a 4 out of 5. Ubisoft ditches its normal formula and finds the ideal way to bring gaming's original prince back to life. And Phil Homshaw at IGN gave an 8 out of 10. Returning to a 2D perspective, lets Prince of Persia, the Lost Crown, perfect its controls and combat while capturing everything that was great about the heyday of the series. Yeah, so we talked about this when we played it at PAX. It sounds like it continues to... The experience we had at PAX, where we played it for, I don't know, it was like 5-10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We had a great time with it, and it sounds like that experience continues through it. I know... this is available on Ubisoft Plus, so if you want to do their game, you can get their Game Pass equivalent and play it that way.
Oh, sure.
As they bang, or you can buy it outright at $49.99. I will say
$49.99.
Yeah, it's a lower priced game.
Sure.
It isn't available on Steam. It is available on the Epic Store, though, which is just a little more complicated for me because I want to play it on my Steam Deck.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, I do want to disagree on one point. Yes, I don't think this is going to be like the experience in there, because that very kind Ubisoft employee, she kept telling me, no, you need to go this way. It's like, let me fail. Yeah. It'd be nice to be able to fail on my own. I'll find the way, you know? I'll just get lost a little bit.
Yeah. I think
the gameplay was tight. The controls were very reactive. I felt like the game was complete last year.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't last year. It was this summer. Or this past
year. Last year.
Yeah, that's true. It is last year. You're right.
Listen, we have to shift our minds. We live in 2024 now, everyone.
Time's moving forward.
Although it is very weird to think of something as last year in December. Especially when you say it like with that like kind of like knowing inflection.
But also one correction. It's not just on the Epic Game Store. The Epic Game Store allows developers to post their own games on their own launcher. So the Ubisoft game launcher will have it.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said it's on the Ubisoft game launcher and their Game Pass.
No, you said Ubisoft. It was on Epic at the end, though.
Yeah. It's not on Steam is what I'm getting at.
Yep.
I want to buy it. I want to play this. Yeah. Well, as I'm not playing Like a Dragon until Rebirth.
Yeah, you could play Prince of Persia. You probably knocked that out.
Yeah, maybe I play Lost Crown.
Honestly, that's the kind of game you could drop for a few weeks or months and come back.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe playing it on Switch. I don't know.
We played on Switch and it played real well. I didn't see any particular issues on the Switch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got a certain like kind of, I don't want to say low poly style to it, but it's definitely not going for hyper realistic graphics. It's going for kind of the CG animated look that has like low levels of detail in some place and high levels of details in other. So I don't think it's going to push the Switch too much that it we were playing on Switch when we demoed it. So
it played great. Everything was great. Yeah. So I actually don't mind. I'm playing Mario RPG, by the way.
So very am I, Andy.
Good. Oh, are you really?
Yeah. How far did you get?
I'm probably 3/4 of the way through now.
Okay. I just got like the 4th star.
Okay. I think I might have gotten the 5th. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I got that far in a weekend because it's nice that a game is so short.
I feel weird playing it because I'm like, do I need to grind? Should I be grinding?
No. Not even a bit. It just holds your, it's not that it holds your hand. It just lets you just go your own pace. It's so nice. And you didn't play the original, right, James?
No, I never played Super Mario RPG.
No nostalgia for it. But what's your impression then with no nostalgia?
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
I think I'm just off put because it's just kind of a weird RPG.
I do want to maybe change the description of the difficulty. It's easy enough that Big Brother can beat it for you.
I don't know. I think it is the first game I've played, and to be fair, not that I've played many others like it, but like it is a game for kids to get into RPGs.
Yeah.
And it very much reminded me of I'm a Bad Person, but the one I played at PAX, where his specific intention was to craft a JRPG for kids. And to handle like maybe some more or to engage with maybe some little bit more difficult themes, but to be digestible by children. But it's like, where do we have those opportunities? He was crafting it because it didn't exist. And Super Mario RPG does it. And it's goofy and it's fun and it's dumb. And it's just great. It's just great. I've been loving it.
One last thing just before we cut off for tonight. Speaking of great, AGDQ, Awesome Games Done Quick, is going on right now. Hopefully I'll get this posted up tomorrow, Friday. So if you listen to this, you still might be able to catch some of Friday or Saturday's stream. As of right now, they have raised just about $1,015,000 as of 10 p.m. on January 18th Eastern
time. Wow.
That goes to the Prevent Cancer Foundation, which is for the screening and like cancer awareness to help people make sure that they can't catch cancer early.
Yeah. Oh.
It's been pretty good so far. I've had a good time watching it. If you don't know, it's a speed running marathon. It started this previous Sunday and it's 24/7 Sunday to Saturday.
What was the best speed run you've seen?
Honestly, one of them was someone played the Bluey game that just came out.
Oh, there's a speedrun community around that?
There's a speedrun community. It's kind of like there should be like a rule 34 for speedrunning. There's a speedrun of it.
Ooh, what's a game that you want speedrun?
I don't know. We'll have to talk about that on another episode of Add to Party. We're over an hour.
That's fair.
I try to keep us to a tight hour.
And it's appreciated by everyone. God bless you.
I've been your host, James. Maybe don't get Cacio e Pepe. Hartwell. And I've been joined by...
Oh, crap. I got to go. Andy, wait, why are you hating on it?
Just the Goodles version.
Oh, okay. Well, Andy, I'll do it myself then. Cacio e Pepe. Okay. And I've been joined by...
And Eric, pickle enjoyer, Castillo.
Ooh, wait, pickle in terms of
the mana mount? Minions and mana. Yeah.
But also, I think you like a good pickle, Derek.
I do. That is one of my hobbies is pickling.
No. You pickle? Of course you pickle. What do you pickle?
All right.
Well, we can talk about that next time.
No, I want to know about the pickling.
Talk about it later. Have a good night.
Oh, what a cliffhanger.
Have a good rest of your day.
Can't you pickle anything?